Hello, this is Bruce Johansson again for Good Word, professor of biblical studies in the School of Theology at Walla Walla University. And I have two guests again to discuss the Johannine letters with me. Dr. Dave Thomas, chairman of the School of Theology, professor of systematic theology, and a pastor of long experience. Together with him, I have again Dr. Pedrito Maynard Reed, professor of biblical studies, a missiologist, author of books and articles, and also assistant to the president for diversity at Walla Walla University. Gentlemen, welcome. It's a pleasure always to discuss great things with you.
Equal, it's mutual, Bruce.
1 John 2, 28 to 3:10. We've just heard about antichrists and anointings, and this author's encouragement of a community that are probably thrown off their feet, a little shaky, unsure, and he's going to give them some tests whereby they can regain. In fact, there's a commentary called The Tests of Life. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good name for this letter, The Tests of Life. By this you may know. You hear that all the way through,
yes.
Through John. He addresses them in this path, verse 28, "Now, little children, abide in him, so that when he's manifested, we may have confidence." And I think the word confidence occurs four times in this letter. And I think there was maybe a lack of it.
And so, by the way, Bruce, I'm fascinated whenever I read that, how he addresses them, "my little children."
Yes.
And, you know, as I look at that, he's entitled to do that because of the record of his own life. And his now, his old age.
Yes.
You know, if you and I wrote out to our people, "my little children," I'm not sure everybody would be pleased with that.
Yes.
But to get this from grandfatherly, saintly,
you can get away with it.
Holy
yeah.
man,
yes.
John.
Yes.
This was a great honor.
Yes.
And so, you know, you see the effect of the gospel in his own life because he began as a rabble rouser.
Yes.
And now he ends up as this saintly man.
Son of Thunder is now
yes.
the saint.
Yeah. And so I think it's in that context that these words that he writes here have particular power, because the people who got them knew the story of his life.
Oh, definitely.
It also is probably a little sign of the man of wisdom. I mentioned to Pedrito earlier, before you joined our conversation, that this may be one of the signs of a last will and testament.
Oh, okay.
A work of wisdom. But plays very much into what you're saying.
Yeah.
He has the right to say it the way he does because he is a person of experience.
Yeah.
And those who understand Eastern cultures, like Indians, even American Indians,
yes.
African culture,
yes.
the chief, the old chief. That speaks,
the old wise man.
The old wise man, the sage.
When he speaks,
know.
It's all over.
It's all over.
No, nobody
and
else
so
can say
that. Everybody is a child to them. It's great.
This passage brings us to an interesting point. It almost sounds like works. "If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who does right is born of him." I thought you were born of him and then you did right, or you do right and then you were born of him? How does that work?
And isn't it salvation by works that this is teaching, is this?
How
no,
does
I don't
doing...
read it that way at all.
No.
Read that again. What's that phrase?
Okay. "If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who does right is born of him."
Yeah, it doesn't say doing right makes you born of him. It's the opposite way around.
Yes.
Is that if you are born of him, you do right.
So then how you live has a lot to say about what you believe and who you are.
Oh, I think so.
Yes.
You know, James is talking about that very clearly.
Not everybody likes that book, Pedrito.
Oh, but you know, that book is one of the foundation books. That's my book, man. You know.
I know, that's why I picked at you a little bit.
But, you know, we sometimes, because we just, like Luther's affected us too, you know, where he mm-hmm. says, James is an epistle of straw, salvation by works. But, you know, Paul himself, you know, talks about
faith working through love.
Mm-hmm. Jesus talks about, you know, when the king shall come in his glory, you know, because you love me, how are you going to act?
Yes.
You know,
I heard a great saying, he who loves much does much.
Yes. You know,
it never makes sense to me how people can say that there is no connection between your conversion and regeneration and the product of your life. It makes no sense to me. Because the rebirth is a fundamental change that brings gratitude, into a person's life and a sense of new direction and an interest in spiritual and holy things. So how can that not produce some effect in life? You know, the same way if you are fascinated by evil, it will show up in your life. Mm-hmm. I think the point of what John is saying here.
Oh, yes. It's how you treat people.
That's right.
It's how you treat people.
If you have become a believer, it will show up in mm-hmm. the production of good works, not in order to be saved, but because it's a product of your redemption.
He has this phrase, doing righteousness.
Oh, wow.
A lot of people can hide under surface righteousness until they understand that righteousness can also be translated justice.
Justice. When you grasp that idea, and if you could translate a lot of those words where you see righteous in the Bible
mm-hmm.
and put justice in there,
It
sings much, much clearer.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
you find a lot of unjust treatment that has taken place in this among these schismatics and these other people.
Yeah.
And it's not just a list of not doing some commandments.
We heard earlier that he said he who loves God should walk like him.
Walk in. Again,
walk like
halakha.
Him. Yes. The reason, then he goes on to say in here in chapter 3, the shift is to chapter 3, see what love the Father has given us that we should be called his children. You have this children-father relationship, very, very powerful. He goes on to say that, beloved, we are children of God now. It is not yet manifested what we shall be, but we know that when he is manifested, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So there again, there's this, and I think it has to do with justice.
Mm-hmm.
God is a just God. He treats us justly, and he expects us to behave in that way. And the rest of the passage has got a couple of things that we need to look at. Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Okay, so even if you didn't have lawlessness there, you know that sin... That sin is moral.
Isn't that translation that says sin is lawless, and sin is a transgression of the law? Is that what...
The word is anomia. It means lawless.
You know, that's fascinating. That's why the good thing about looking at a variety of translations, mm-hmm. if you can't read the original Greek, to see really what is he talking about.
Yes.
Is it a list of things that you do and don't mm-hmm. or don't do?
Living wildly.
It's that living wildly in its wildest, wild sense.
Yes.
You know?
And then he goes on to say...
Yeah, in other words, that cannot be interpreted in a perfectionistic sense.
No, it's impossible.
You have a list of regulations. If you keep them, then all is well. That's not what that's talking about.
No.
Because, you know, Paul in Philippians talk about, I have been blameless. There were 613 commandments, and he kept every one of them perfectly.
Yes.
And then he goes on to say, but they're all not.
And the same is true of the rich young ruler. When
exactly.
By Jesus, said, I've kept all of them.
Now we come to verse 6. Everyone who abides in him does not sin.
So that means I can be perfect without sinning. Doesn't that disagree
or else
with
it's on and it's off and it's on and it's off and it's on and it's off. Is that what it means?
Well, I'm anxious to hear how you two gentlemen deal with this because I see it in some
and in him,
way.
There is no sin.
Everyone who sins has neither seen him nor known him.
You know what? There's a good book, The Pharisee's Guide to Perfect Holiness, written by George Nice. And he talks about this, and he talks about capital S-I-N
mm-hmm.
and lowercase S-I-N-S.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's a helpful distinction.
And I think that's a very, very helpful distinction. The acts of sin which we all, I mean, just the way I sit, I'm going against what God's desire for me is, but I'm still walking in light. So I'm sinless, and I believe in sinlessness by being in him and abiding in him.
Mm-hmm. Which is different than saying that you will never do anything wrong.
That's right. Because just saying that, by saying that, I've just sinned.
I've read articles which have tried to argue that John is being absolute here. But I'm still not convinced because the present tense is the Greek here.
Yeah.
And it's continuous.
It's continuous.
And I think a good paraphrase would be who practices sin.
That's exactly right.
Capital S.
In other words, a person who practices that.
Lives
a life of sin.
Who is habituated towards sin. Yes.
Habituated.
So that's right. So
you
I
have
say
that
you,
in both verse 6 and 9.
Right. So you're walking in the direction of sin, and he says, turn around. And when you turn around and walk in the direction of righteousness, at that point you're sinless.
Yes. Yes.
That is the perfection. It doesn't mean, however.
And see, I theologically have a struggle with sinlessness, because sin, the indications are that sin has corrupted human nature.
Yes.
And even if you don't do bad things, you still have not solved the problem of your human nature, which, as I understand Paul, will be remedied on the day of Christ's coming.
That's right.
And that,
that's
the only way God can see us as sinless is when his righteousness covers us.
That's right. But you do believe that in the life of someone who's walking with Christ, the number of wrongs they do will decline over time.
Because
of the transformation
of
their life.
Because of the walk. Yes. But the closer you walk to Christ, though, the more you see yourself as sinful, you know.
That's right. And the less willing you are to trust yourself.
That's exactly right. As I told one man, you walk in the prison as I was doing some Bible studies, and the more he came to Christ, the more he saw himself worse than he was before. And I said, come in like a mirror. The closer you get to the mirror, the more blemishes you see on your face.
That's true.
Christ is the mirror. Yeah. But you still recognize that he has forgiven you, and he loves you, and he's going to help you every step of the way.
And see, godly people are not possessed of arrogance. They are possessed of a great humility that makes them very beautiful.
That's
and
right.
There's a gratitude in their lives and a sorrow when they do wrong.
Yes.
Not a justification or an explanation or an excuse.
I got into trouble preaching on verse 9 as a young man. Everyone born of God does not sin. And then, again, it is a present tense. Does not live a life of sin. Contrast this with chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. If we sin, we have an advocate.
That's right. So they don't contradict
each
other.
Aorist tense, punctiliar, action.
Right.
If we commit a sin, we have.
And see, I pick up also the Paul's comments about communion, where he said that if you eat unworthily, and there are a lot of people who interpret it that way, but actually unworthily is an adverb that describes the manner in which you're eating, not your own state of sin or sinlessness.
If you just read the verses in the context before that, how they were behaving.
That's right. But the whole service is set up for sinners. Some people say sinners should stay away from that. That's nonsense.
But people are afraid that if you go in that direction, you will tell people, well, you can sin. It is okay to sin, which is so opposite of what John is saying here.
Yes. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That was everyone. But even the ones who have accepted him are not perfect. And if you look at this passage all the way through, we are referred to as his children.
Yeah.
God can deal with an imperfect family.
That's very true.
That's right.
In fact, that's what the whole plan of redemption is for.
Yes. That should model for us as parents. Our kids need to be perfect because our reputation needs to show.
Yeah, you don't get rid of your kids because they're not perfect.
Yes. What a wonderful God this is.
God is.
Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate your rich remarks as we've shared this passage together. I also want to give my thanks to Michael White, program engineer. And once again, good word. This is Bruce Johnson. For more information about Good Word, you can visit the Positive Life Radio website at plr.org. Look under Programs for Good Word.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.